from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
His examples, but like a true power guy. Reggie White was like the ultimate. He was not a linebacker, but at D end, he was the ultimate, just pure power, stronger than the guy trying to block him. Rousseau is very much a speed bend guy, and the idea that the punch was so weak that a speed and bend guy was running right through Broderick Jones, just, it has me thinking that. And Jones, we're going to hear him at the bottom of the hour here, what he had to say in his own words about all of this. We'll have that for you. No matter what he ends up saying about the elbow situation, whether he takes the high road or not or whatever, it'll have me – he's not going to say, my elbow sucks, it's broken in half or whatever. You know, I got a broken freaking elbow. But it's impossible to look at him right now and not think you are at least looking at a compromised or let me put it this way – an uncomfortable player. And it's one thing to be battling through like a tweaked ankle or something, but it seems like what is ailing him right now is on a very fundamental level, like either the elbow really hurts and he can't extend his arms to punch, or the brace that he's wearing is so clunky and so unnatural for him that it like literally changes how he feels when he's out there actually trying to do his job. Neither one of them is good, by the way. Like, both of those present a very real problem for a team that's trying to get the most out of this guy.
Well, I mean, I think the equipment part of it is a bad look on the player and on the team. Like, if he has this brace on and it is that detrimental to his game, like, that has to be addressed first and foremost. Like, hey, man, I can't do the things I'm supposed to do with this thing on my arm. Like, that is... kind of concerning if it would be, if that part would be true. But I mean, the fact that if he would have no power behind anything he can do on that side, like that he has no punch, then yeah, it's kind of a scary thought. Like, where is the health level of that elbow?
So I know they're probably teaching this kind of technique in high school, right? Like, you watch tackles on your team get taught like the punch and like the basically defeat the pass rusher moves, right? I mean, this is something that's being taught pretty fundamentally to teenagers. Am
yeah.
I correct?
As yeah.
I didn't play, I tried to know ball, Donnie, but I didn't play ball, so I can't say I know ball. And I certainly wouldn't have been an O lineman. It stands to reason to me, though, that since it's his right elbow that's in bad shape, wouldn't you want him on the left side? Because aren't you punching with that outside hand more than anything?
It would be more so the outside hand, yeah.
So what? That's what I don't get, like, in this situation. He's a natural left tackle. He's admitted he's much more comfortable on that side, but he's trying to – I think largely he has tried to be a good soldier about all this and not be grousing publicly about what his role is or the fact that he's sitting around because Dan Moore literally just has proved. They didn't even try to make Dan Moore a right tackle. They just said, nope, Dan can't do it, and he gets to keep playing left tackle. He was here first. Nya, 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 like something like that. I would think, one, just go play him on his left side where he's naturally more comfortable. And if this elbow really is something of a concern, it becomes less of one if he's playing on the side of the line at the tackle position where he doesn't have to utilize it as much. Like, you say that the brace is a bad look for him and for them. If his right side is in bad shape, upper body, and it's going to be more exposed that it's in bad shape if he's playing right tackle, it is a horrible look for them that they continue to put him out there. Again, now you start to wonder, too, with a situation like this, is he in somebody's doghouse? Did he tick off somebody that he shouldn't have ticked off? And they're almost, like, punishing him. They said that this elbow thing for him has been, whatever it is, has been lingering since, like, one of the first practices of camp. I remain so frustrated by the entire exercise, Donnie. I really do. And I just think it has the potential to, like, not spiral out of control, but to be a huge thorn in their side for what they want to be this year offensively if that guy never gets it going. Like, could you just imagine a situation where he's just so average that they end up having him be the swing tackle? Like, I'll be pulling my non-existent hair out if that happens.
I mean, yeah, and then it's a terrible look on the organization. It's a terrible look on the position coach in that sense. It would be a bad look on the people that made the selection. And yeah, I mean, onus goes on the player as well for not working out, but that would be we thought we had a world beater, a franchise left tackle, and here we are in year two, and he's the swing guy, and he can't get past a former fourth-round pick who is an okay player at best. Like, it would create a domino effect and almost have people completely out on the player as is. Like, I just don't understand, and something that Nick Faribault brought up last week, one of the nights I was talking to him, I thought he made a pretty fair point when he said Broderick Jones athletically probably the best out of all of their tackles, but when it comes to playing the position, he's probably the most raw, especially when you throw him at right tackle. He does not understand, and I don't either, why they are using their most raw tackle to get thrown around left and right. Like, that should be a player you set at a position.
Also, that you set at the position that you drafted him to play, which was left. Like, not only is Nick right to say, why are you throwing him around at both positions, but why are you primarily using him at the one that is still, like, more of a backwards one for him? This is one of those times where I do wish the player behind the scenes, I don't know if he is, I guess we'd probably be hearing a little bit more leaking out about it. I wish he was advocating for himself a little more. I think they're almost taking advantage of the fact that the guy seems to be like an all-for-one and one-for-all when he should be putting his foot down a little bit. I'm a first-round pick. Get your agent involved. I know this is a weird thing to say about a guy after he's coming off one of the worst, even though preseason aside, the worst performances like you'll ever see. But, like, get your people involved. Like, the idea that Dan Moore, like, it would be one thing, I guess, that, one, they wouldn't have drafted some of the guys they've drafted if Moore had given them reason to believe. The idea, though, that Dan Moore, having done virtually nothing other than kind of exist and be, in the most base way possible, competent, like, that's been enough to hold off Broderick Jones is just mind-numbing to me. But enough about that for the time being, Donnie. Can you go find our favorite soap opera music and ponies folder and play it, please? We haven't given the people what they really want yet today. We haven't given the people what they deserve, what the people crave, what the people have been thinking about night and day for the last several weeks. I thought you might have it with that long of an intro.
Well, you know what the issue was there?
Does he have it hidden?
Well, it's not that he has it hidden. He has Aiyuk spelled incorrectly.
Oh, good. How does he have it spelled?
He put an L instead of an I. Aluyuks.
Do you think he did that to try to throw people off?
Like, throw us off?
Yeah, like, we can't find it if he's not here.
Probably, knowing him, but I scrolled down and I found it, Malzy.
Thank you.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the Aiyuks of our lives.
Boy, it wasn't going to be a complete day on the show without hearing that. Jordan Schultz, 10 minutes ago, sources, The 49ers and Brandon Ayuk had another meeting yesterday. And hold on, I'm going to start this over again. Can you play the sound one more time? I thought of a better way to do this. Do it. Just play it right back. Second verse, same as the first.
Sends through the hourglass, so are the Ayuks of our lives.
Sources. The 49ers and wide receiver Brandon Ayuk had another meeting yesterday. And talks continue to progress on a long-term contract extension. There's been movement on a deal, but there are some minor details that still need to be ironed out with ownership approval. There we go. So that's Jordan Schultz. I don't know. It seems like, just to read quick tea leaves here, Kyle Shanahan earlier today said no further updates. If you go into Crowley's folder, Donnie, he's got a very quick John Lynch clip that you can get queued up here in a second. I will say, I still believe that Pony was given correct information at the time. I do think that the situation has changed. It's like the old from the movie Seven. John Doe is in charge now. Like, it's that part of it. He has the upper hand. I do get the sense that this is now leaning more towards... and this is not without... This is like me not trying to ascertain who has leverage, who's doing PR stunts, who's trying to curry favor. This is just reading the tea leaves very basically in front of your face. It feels like things are trending towards Ayuk actually staying in San Francisco long term. This is what John Lynch said about the whole situation.
There's not bad blood. I mean, negotiations can get heated. I think it's his first time going through that. No bad blood. I mean, if, you know, people that are here see Brandon out here, there's love, a lot of love and respect for the relationship we've had and continue to have, and hopefully we'll have into the future.
I don't know about you, but I take that as a guy who wants to keep Brandon Ayuk. They're just like little thawing in the ice there, Donnie. I don't know. That's how I'm generally reading the situation right now.
I mean, they're going to be running out of time here at some point to figure out if they do want to have him back.
You know what would be kind of funny? They trade him in season because they watch Pearsall and they feel good enough about it, right? Like, could you imagine something goofy like that happening? There's a really like desperate wide receiver needy team. And he comes back and plays, you know, before he necessarily has to, because he just decides, screw it, I'll try to put on good tape. And then they just deal him mid-season. Imagine that?
There is no denial that they handled their offseason as if they were not sure about having him back.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, you know, the drafting of a first-round receiver, I think they drafted one in the middle rounds.
Jennings.
As well, they re-signed Juwan Jennings after a huge Super Bowl performance. Like, they definitely put the seeds out there in case they weren't going to have Brandon Ayuk back.
I just think that ultimately in the end, even though they planned for all of this, I think they're going to end up, for whatever reason, just deciding, you know what, if some other teams are willing to pay him a lot of money, I guess we will be too.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Porch rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
PM team Chris Muller rolling solo today, live from South Hills Kia, Route 19, Peters Township. They got a big sale going on right now. Telluride's, Sorrento's, all sorts of good stuff. Forte's, Sportage's, Seltos as well. Check them out, southhillskia.net. Great people here, as they have been very kind to us during our time on the show today. And we have enjoyed it quite a bit. Right now, I'll also remind you that you can try the maintenance-free gutter solution from Gutter Helmet. Call 888-5-HELMET for a free estimate. Do that too. Right now, we're putting up the bat signal. Donnie, Brian Batko, Steelers beat writer for the PG, is on the line. Do you like that one, Brian?
What's up, Chris? Pony taking the day off to go to Kennywood.
Yes. Did he? Why has he been posting?
He. I just saw a tweet from him. What do you think Pony's favorite Kennywood ride is?
The kangaroo.
The jackrabbit?
That's what I was going to say. I feel like he's going to come back with a hot take that, like, the jackrabbit is, for whatever reason, better than all these fancy newfangled steel coasters.
I mean, I'm a big Thunderbolt guy. The best one, the best, you know, it's, you ever been to Cedar Point? Not that I'm trying to do competing Kennywood takes here. You ever been up to Cedar Point?
I have not.
So they had a big wooden roller coaster called the Mean Streak that was incredibly rough to ride, but it was, like, a lot of fun. Unbelievable retrofit. Like, when they, you know, when they always hear about, like, an NFL stadium, instead of building a new one, sometimes they'll get, like, $200 million in renovations done. They took down the wooden track, built a steel track within it that goes upside down, within, like, the framework of the whole thing. Wildest roller coaster I've ever been on. Pony would have loved the old rotor. Were you old? Are you old enough for the rotor where it would stick you to the wall with centrifugal force?
No, but I mean the Thunderbolt. You get a pretty good G force going on that. That's the one you need to ride with a partner. You can't even ride it by yourself.
The rotor was one where you would all stand on the like a big circle, and the thing would get moving so fast that like the centrifugal force would glue you to the wall, like you literally couldn't move. It was very odd. It was like an early science lesson for people. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. I'm going to try to make we're putting up the bat signal happen, and every time Pony's on and we have you on, I'm just going to keep saying it until he gets angry at me.
Are you going to do it in the Starkey voice?
Possibly. If I think that that's exacerbating the anger, yes. Definitely. I was pretty angry watching Broderick Jones because, much like Pony with Kenny Pickett, I stuck my neck out and said that was like the best possible pick they could have made in that year's draft. And at least in my case, we know that Broderick Jones was seen pretty much universally as a first-round graded player, but he had a miserable game against Buffalo. Did you catch him? Were you in the scrum with him after this practice today, Brian?
Yes, I think it might have broken a record for largest preseason scrum for an offensive lineman. It was... Because he didn't talk after the game, I guess, that he had to go, like, see the trainer and do all that. I mean, everybody was just – it was like he was heading to the principal's office today with us in the media. But he was in a relatively good mood for having to face the music with us after a rough night.
Yeah, so you thought he handled it pretty well? I mean, what was your overall opinion of the way he carried himself in that situation?
Yes, he's carried himself well since he got here as a rookie. I never really know what to expect from guys from powerhouse programs, particularly Georgia. Obviously, they did not face a lot of adversity in his time there, especially his final season where they just ran roughshod over everybody. But, no, he's been a very good sport and a very jolly guy off the field, and he was much the same way today. He's like, look, I'm as healthy as I'm going to be, but he's not using it as an excuse. He said, this is Pittsburgh, PA. You got to play a tough physical brand of football, and left side, right side, he just has to be better. So I give him credit. He has let the positional stuff roll off of his back since day one, and now he's doing the same with this arm injury, whatever's going on there.
How serious is it? Because saying I'm as healthy as I'm going to be isn't saying I'm healthy. It's pretty much leaving the door wide open that something is bothering him to a significant enough degree that it warrants mentioning and it warrants a brace. Like, how bad are you hearing that this is?
I mean, it's definitely something to monitor, especially because there is a viable third option when Troy Fautanu gets back healthy. I mean, everybody wants to push Dan Moore out the airplane door, but he's probably, ironically, the tackle you'd actually feel the best about at this point, because he is upright and healthy, and he's been playing this position. Your mileage on how he does so very much may vary, but you know, he's been doing it for a few seasons, and now the other two guys are, not only are they hurt, but they're struggling with the film they put out there. So, yeah, I mean, it bears watching. Tomlin, I asked him about the arm today, too. We know he doesn't like to provide any additional color on injury updates, but he just said that, you know, it's not an excuse. And as far as how Broderick reacted to the tape of that game, I'm sure it wasn't pretty for him behind closed doors in the team meetings. Tomlin just said, we'll find that out next opportunity to get out there for him.
Do you get the sense that they're going to play the starters on offense any significant length of time in this third preseason game, partly because of how it looked against Buffalo?
Yeah, I do, but not necessarily for that reason, because Tomlin was pretty blunt today philosophically about how he approaches the new three-game preseason. If you remember that first year, they still had four of them, but he said from here on out, the third game of the preseason is the same as it's always been. He basically just considers that old fourth preseason game, the Carolina-Pittsburgh Classic, that you would watch for about 20 minutes and then fall asleep on the couch or go do something else. That doesn't exist to him anymore, and that apparently is not what he's going to use this trip to Detroit for. It sounds like the dress rehearsal is going to be Saturday at 1 o'clock.
What are the chances that if Jones stabilizes a little bit in performance and then Fautanu's back, that they immediately kick Jones over to left tackle and move Moore out of there? Like, do you think Dan Moore starts, I don't know, over under 4.5 games at left tackle this year?
Ooh, that feels like a good over-under. I'll probably go under because I was one of those who originally thought Fautanu has a lot more college experience. He's an older guy, more polished. He's not going to get the Broderick Jones treatment from the coaching staff. But now, because of this knee injury, I do wonder if that's going to put him behind the eight ball, at least for week one. But he should be fully healed four games into the season. And I think by then, you know, if Dan Moore doesn't really hold down the fort in that first month, then, yeah, before long, they're going to want to get to the bookend first rounders and start letting that unit gel as a group of five.
Do you think they're doing Jones a disservice by not giving him some just more reps in general on the left side of the line?
Probably. But, you know, they haven't really cared too much, I guess, about where their offensive linemen are other than Dan Moore. I mean, I guess that one's just a combination of
it's maddening
one, he doesn't
to me.
Want to.
Brian, it's maddening to me. They're catering to the one guy because he literally can't do the other thing. It's like somebody you work with can't do something fundamental to the job, and so they say, well, everyone has to work around so-and-so's deficiency, not the other way around.
Well, the flip side to that is they'd probably tell you, we're not catering to him because we've just used our two most valuable draft resources in back-to-back years on guys who are going to eventually render that problem moot for us. And yeah, I think that's going to be the case. And it's probably a combination too of not only is he not comfortable with it, that probably doesn't matter nearly as much as they just don't think he can do it either. So why mess with that if he's giving you decent enough play at left tackle? And yeah, I think you know, before long he's going to lose out long term in that battle, but he's already finessed a pretty good deal for himself to this point.
Brian, last one for you. How concerned do you get the sense that the Steelers' brain trust is, Arthur Smith, Mike Tomlin, about the way this team has actually looked? I know everyone says it's the preseason, it doesn't matter, but do these guys seem at all visibly alarmed, annoyed, otherwise, by what they've put on tape so far through two preseason games?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Arthur Smith is a lot better with the media than his predecessor was. I think, but it's difficult. I mean, it's probably unfair to compare to late stage beaten down Matt Canada to a guy who's still fairly refreshed by this new position. But no, I mean, I wouldn't say they seem overly concerned. And to me, I think the biggest reason why I wouldn't be if I were in their shoes is you kind of have the ultimate spark in waiting in Justin Fields. Like, even if things don't go as planned with Russell Wilson, you know you're going to have an injection of some sorts waiting on the sideline. And, you know, we'll see how he does if he gets that opportunity. But at the very least, you know the kind of athlete and the kind of dynamic talent that you have waiting in the wings as a, you know, in case of emergency, break glass guy.
Brian Batko, the bat signal was put up. Steelers beat writer for the PG. Thank you, Brian. It was a pleasure.
The Batconian mongoose, as Starkey has called me. Do you like that horse?
The Batconian mongoose?
It's completely nonsensical, but yeah.
Just given the fact that it's Joe saying it, I'm going to say no, I don't like it, in the hopes that he heard me say that and gets mad.
All right. Fair? Let's hope so. See you, Maldi.
See you, Brian. Displaying integrity, intensity, and intelligence on today's show, Chris Muller, PM team. We are live. South Hills Kia, Route 19, Peters Township. Bill Winter, the GM and his team, been very kind to us today. Come down here, check out some great deals they've got going on. Sales event right now. You can get into Sportages, Telluride, Seltos, Fortes, Sorrentos, all for great deals. They got plenty of inventory. Great people here. Been very good to us, so come check them out. Also in the South Hills family of dealerships, by the way, South Hills Auto Group. They're around for three generations. 50 years for South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram in business. 50. I can't even imagine being alive for 50 years. I'm 39. 50 years in business. Broderick Jones was the man of the hour. Everyone laughing at me as I said that. I'm 39 years old. I got people turning their heads just snickering at me right now. As I say, I can't even imagine being alive for 50 years. I'm going to be there soon enough when I have two teenagers screaming at me. At that age. Broderick Jones, though, was the man of the hour, and not really for good reasons, at practice today, after practice, I should say. As Brian Batko put it, surrounded by a gaggle of reporters, possibly a throng. It could have even been a circus? I'm trying to think of, you know, a mob of people, of reporters. Here is what the Steelers, I'll call him the Steelers' right tackle because technically that's the position he's playing. Here is the Steelers' tackle who should be playing the left side but is being foolishly deployed on the right side because the Steelers are just being ridiculous about this, about just what he did against Buffalo or didn't do, which was really play football well, and what he needs to do moving forward. Here's Broderick Jones.
Just got to be better. You know, for me, I always, you know, for us as an offense, I feel like we try and always get that extra emphasis on starting fast and, you know, being physical. And, you know, for me, I feel like that I just didn't set the tone from the beginning of the game, you know. So, you know, just got to continue to get better each and every day and, you know, just keep going from there, continuing to grow. Me? I'm as healthy as I'm going to get, you know, with the season coming up. But everybody always playing week in and week out with some minor injury or something that they got to push through. So
when you say you're as healthy as you're going to get, what do you mean by that?
You know, like I said, I play O-line. You know, it's a physical brand of football here in Pittsburgh, PA. So, you know, everybody's going to have those little nicks and bruises. But you guys just got to continue to play through.
Is it little? Or is it something that's going to need?
Yeah, it's nothing major.
Elbow, right?
Huh?
Elbow?
Multiple things, you know, so
you
just got to.
Is the brace inhibiting you? You got the brace on. Is it holding you back in any way?
No. I wouldn't. It's not the brace, you know. Guys may think it is, but it's nothing wrong with the brace. It's just me being able to lock in with football and just continuing to grow as a player and trusting my game and, you know, just going from there. So
not being physical, like you mentioned, that's pretty out of character from what we've seen of you dating back to last year. Can you recall that happening before?
I probably had a couple games here and there. But, you know, you just try and had that mindset of just the next play mentality. So, you know, like,
every down in and down out, you know, you're just trying to continue to grow. You know, if you mess up, you know, next play mentality, always having that mindset, I feel like it helps, you know, me for sure, definitely, because, you know, growing, like when I was at Georgia, I was always, you know, stuck in my ways, in my head, if I get beat or something. So, you know, I feel like I've grown in that manner, you know, just being here in Pittsburgh and, you know, just taking the coaching and, you know, just listening to different players, you know, like what their routine is like on game day, or, you know, what helps them or what don't help them. So, you know, I feel like I just got to figure out, you know, what works for me and just continue to grow off of that and, you know, just see where it takes me.
Do you feel like switching sides is affecting you at all?
No.
Four sacks on Saturday. Just what were you seeing on the line out there? Why do you think you guys were getting beat like that?
Like I just said, you know, just us being physical, playing our physical brand of football. You know, because I feel like when we start off that way and then, you know, it just trickles throughout the whole team. And, you know, at that point, we're just rolling and you really don't see it or hear about it. So I just feel like that's all it is. You know, we just got to be faster and, you know, have our mindset right of, you know, just going out and just continue to put on our brand of football. You know, that's me included. That starts with me, I feel like. So, you know, just for me, I just feel like I got to be more physical, you know, within the start of the game, you know, just playing my brand of football.
Seeing Ryder, your footwork, you were getting to your spot really quickly, but maybe weren't able to connect with your hands. How do you improve upon that, or what do you think you have to do to be better in those spots?
Just continuing to work on your hand-eye coordination throughout the week, because, you know, with that, like I said, well, like you just said, with me getting to my spot so fast, it kind of throws off the timing of things, you know, being able, like having to wait on the defender, giving the defender time to react and then counter-react. And, you know, it's a lot of different factors. So it's just me being able to, you know, just control my sets, tempo my sets, and, you know, just being dominant, you know, with my hands and just playing football.
Was there anything different from Thursday? Because, I mean, I watched you go up against Greg several times in the joint practice, and you looked very strong in those moments.
One more time.
You went up against Rousseau in the joint practice on Thursday, and it seemed like the issues that you might have had in the game itself were like, I didn't see those in the joint practice. Mm-hmm. You know, was there any difference in, like, maybe your approach or something that you're like, I did this year,
I
was there?
I don't feel like it was a difference, you know. I just feel like it was one of those days for me. So, you know, just trying to bounce back, get out of that hole, and just continue to get better.
With the brace, I know you said it's not affecting how you're playing, but was it an adjustment to get used to having something on your body that maybe you hadn't played?
Yeah, it's definitely it was definitely an adjustment for me, but I wouldn't, you know, like we try as an offense and as a team, we say, you know, control what you can control. You know, with something like that, that's something I can't control. You know, that's something I just got to play through. And, you know, at the end of the day, hopefully one day I'm be able to take it off and won't have to wear it, but you never know, so.
Is the brace something that helps with an injury, or is it to help with technique or a combination?
No, it's for injury.
All right, that's Roger Jones right there. Donnie, my quick thoughts there. I thought pretty stand-up performance in a scrum like that. It was not really excuse-making. I thought he deflected repeatedly. He said, yeah, I'm bumped, but bumped and bruised up, but everybody is at this time. There's a couple things, but again, I didn't hear any excuses. I heard, I'm hurt, but we all are. Everyone's hurt pretty much from the second they start playing because it's a violent game. I've got to be better. So I will give him credit, and it's not much credit because it's still just talking. It's not playing. I'll give him credit for making zero excuses for one of the worst performances I think most of us have ever seen. I also get the sense that he still is very much trying to play like the good soldier here and really not express any displeasure with the way any of this has gone down on the team's end as far as how they've handled him so far.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty professional approach. I mean, we've seen in the past where some guys maybe take a different road to that. I know some people were questioning what was going on Saturday night after he declined his chat with the media and said he had to go talk to the medical team. But then he goes out today, and, you know, I like you said, I thought he was, like, mature about how he went about his answers.
It sounds like he also just said, basically, I had a bad day out there, which is just kind of weird. Christopher Carter, I think all he does is ask questions. Yes, that's a Chris Carter pun, and so I don't want people to think I'm being mean to Chris. That's his job. But when he just when he said you basically handled Rousseau in the joint practices, and then Jones's response was, "I just had a bad day." That was just a weird thing to see from a guy who I, you know, I don't think really had a lot of those last year. I thought he was better than like PFF gave him credit for. He just kind of said, "Yep, it's one of those things." The thing I don't believe though is that I just gave him credit for not using it as an excuse. It is just obvious that the elbow is more than just a minor thing. I mean, he straight up got asked, is it not a big deal? He said, no, it's not. I don't believe that. I think that elbow is the A1 situation here that he's going to have to fight through, probably with pain-killing injections or whatever it might be. Everything about it, the actual injury itself, the way the brace affects him, it, whether or not he can adjust to that and play through that, I think is going to be a major story this year. Because I believe that that has to be the main thing going on.
I do think if there's something up with the brace itself, they should maybe look into it a bit. Like if there's any way that they can make the mobility he has with his upper body better, if that seems to be an issue. I mean, I don't know if that is an issue. That's just kind of speculation about the bulkiness of the brace. That is something that can be easily fixed. If he's in actual pain, that's something he just has to deal with.
Man, I think about it writ large. I had such high hopes for this season because I thought here's what was going to happen. They would have this silly little competition in camp where they made it seem like Moore actually had a chance to keep his job. And then it was going to become extremely evident very early on that he, in fact, was not going to keep his job and that it was going to be Jones's job. And that just it hasn't happened. Fautanu's injury, I think, threw a big wrench into their plans. It's been frankly, Donnie, kind of a bummer to see how this has started to play out here, where the guy that Bacco correctly pointed out, they drafted two guys to basically get Dan Moore the heck out of there, and he remains kind of the last and healthiest man standing. And it's just for people who wanted to see
a from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.